.net.
Where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling this toll-free number, 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's show. This is Colleen Kelly-Mast. And as I look at my screen to see who's on the calls, I see expired subscription. You're not protected against new threats until you renew your subscription. So we're just going to click that off and welcome you to the show so I can see that I'm on here. Actually, we haven't even started, and the calls are coming in already. So give me a call, and let's talk about what's bothering you. Let's find a solution for it. We won't just talk, but we'll be solution-oriented and try to look at the problems of the day in light of faith, hope, and love. Our show today, as always, is produced by Ave Maria Radio and brought to you by your local Catholic radio station. And whatever you can do to thank them, a thank you note or a donation, do that. You have Catholic Radio. Actually, welcome to Lincoln, Nebraska. I know, and somebody mentioned the other day when I was on for Dr. Ray on Wednesday that the KVSS in Omaha is now expanded to Lincoln, where we have just tons of great Catholics out there. So welcome, Lincoln, Nebraska, to our show. I invite you particularly to call in. If you haven't had a chance to call yet, the Michigan people have probably had all their problems solved by now. Canada and Buffalo and some of the cities that have been with us for a long time. You know, the problems come up every day, I know it. So wherever you are in the country, north, south, east, west, southeast, northwest, please stay with us here for the next hour and hear some questions and answers to personal problems of the day with Catholic flavor. And I invite you to call at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number. And this is the day before Valentine's Day. If you go in a store, that's how you know it's Valentine's Day, because everything turns red right when they put the Christmas things away, I think it was. Since I don't go into stores a whole lot, I haven't observed that much until last night. The refrigerator was empty. We had to go to the grocery store to get a few things. And this morning, so I put on a red sweater. And my husband and I are going out Saturday night, now that the kids are pretty much gone. But I thought this morning we'd talk a little bit about romance. I was looking over my chapter in Love and Life, A Christian Sexual Morality Guide for Teens, one of the books I wrote for you and all the teens in your life. There's a parent's guide and a student workbook. But when I revised the book a couple years ago, I wrote a whole new chapter on emotional maturity. And why did I have to do that? Because I've been meeting with teens and parents for a long time. And over the 20 years from the first time I wrote the book till recently, I noticed that even a lot of grown-ups do not have emotional maturity. They live for their feelings. They let their feelings affect their behavior more seriously than they should, instead of putting feelings in their perspective, that feelings are an indicator of that something is very, very good, or something is very, very bad, or something is pleasurable or painful or irritating. It's an indicator, but we have to think before we act. So people that are not emotionally mature, they listen to their emotions and they act based on what they feel like doing if they're not mature. And they act on what they should do if they are, and if they know what to do. Hopefully they've had enough training at home. But I was going to talk a little bit about, on my page 64, I talk about romantic feelings, the feeling of romantic attraction, because it's good. I mean, romance isn't evil of its own. It's just a feeling. Actually, it's one of the high points of emotional life. And when you look at the great literature, great music, when music wasn't just noise, I mean, drama and poetry, they're all full of examples of the creativity that can be expressed when this feeling of romance is experienced. You know, and romantic feelings are going to come and go in life, you know, but a lot of them will have memories attached, really good memories. Those romantic times just kind of makes your heart warm thinking about those romantic moments of your life. It's a feeling of the moment. It's an awesome feeling. And it can lead you to love. But romance doesn't always lead you to love, and sometimes people confuse it with love. So although romantic feelings are great, they're actually overrated when people use them to determine the value of their relationship. Like if you're dancing with someone and you feel overwhelmed by this warm romantic feeling, it doesn't mean you're in love. It means you're dancing so closely that you're causing a natural hormonal reaction. And if it's more than you can handle, you take a step back. If you want to just rest in that feeling and enjoy it, especially if you're with your husband or wife, you want to appreciate and act on that feeling and give your husband or wife a tender embrace. And romantic feelings are never an excuse for committing a sin. And they shouldn't be our main reason for getting married either. Like you see on TV. I mean, that's what we've been seeing in TV and movies. They lead couples to just do things that they shouldn't be doing. But they leave out the person in the personal relationship. Each person is made of a mind and a will and emotions. And we have to use our minds. We're human beings. So we think about how we should love. The other Wednesday, we talked about the difference between infatuation and love. Because even if you go into marriage and it's based only on feelings, how is that going to last? You got to use your brains. You got to think about your values. You've got to look at the character of the person. And if we just go on our feelings and we don't look at the character and the goals and the values of that person and to see if they're going in the same path we are, we could just get caught up in the romance. And then what do you do when the romance is over? Oh, I don't feel love anymore. Well, love isn't a feeling. Love is a decision. It's that willingness, the will, the decision of the will to give the best of yourself for the good of the other person. It's caring more about their needs and their good than your own. Okay, we're not going to confuse good and needs either if we're talking about morality either. So romantic feelings can be good. They're great. They'll come and go. They'll come and go in marriage, and they might be gone for a long time. It doesn't mean your love is gone. It means you act how you know you should act, whether or not you feel it. And during the teen years, you know, they could harm you if you let yourself get too emotionally attached at too young an age, or you attach yourself to a person who's not good for you without thinking, or you hang out with somebody who leads you to temptation, or you stay with a person who creates a desire in you to sin, or to desire those pleasures that only should be awakened in marriage. But they're not totally a waste. Think of what romantic feelings did for you at first. Okay, when you had your first romantic feelings, did you comb your hair better? Did you dress more properly? Did you brush your teeth more often than your mother had told you to? Sometimes that feeling of romance helps us become selfless instead of selfish. So it's not God playing a trick on you. He gives you these feelings to get out of yourself so you think of that other person more than yourself. And then you develop that habit of love, that habit of caring for that other person more than yourself. And then when the feeling of romance dies down, you have that good habit of loving the Christ in that other person and loving that other person like Christ loves you. So romance, not bad. Actually, it's a good thing. Don't misuse it. So enjoy all your proper romantic relationships. See romance for what it is, a great feeling. But don't confuse it with real love. And have a happy Valentine's Day. This is The Doctor Is In. Give me a call at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number. This is Colleen Kelly Mast here to help you today with your personal problems. Talk to you in a moment.
The doctor, come in. Pull up a couch. Let's talk. The doctor is in.
Love is in the air, and that's why the Ave Maria online store has plenty to offer about existing relationships and blossoming ones.
The ABCs to Finding a Good Husband and a Good Wife are a pair of unique books to help find a lifelong partner in this divorce-crazed society.
The book Holy Sex tries to explain why Catholics are satisfied with their sex life more than others.
And the DVD Fireproof is an inspirational film about love, sacrifice, and heroism.
To learn more, go to the online store at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Faith, family, and the culture of life. It's Family Man with Catholic therapist Dr. Gregory Popchak.
There's an exciting new treatment for teenage depression. Several studies show that attachment-based family therapy has an 87% success rate for treating adolescent emotional problems within 12 sessions. This is especially exciting since only one out of every 9 teens treated with medication alone for depression shows any improvement at all. Attachment-based family therapy works by increasing empathy and connection between the teen and the parents, by finding ways to eliminate high-conflict interactions, and shoring up family rituals like mealtimes, family fun times, and other relationship-building activities. Researchers find that, contrary to popular myth, teens actually want good, close relationships with their parents, even when they're loath to admit it. When therapists help reestablish the lost rapport between parents and their teens, the depression goes away. The Bible tells parents to guard against their children losing heart. If you have a depressed teen or want to prevent depression in your teens, make sure to insist that they participate in regular family activities, that you get plenty of one-on-one time with them, and you get whatever help you need to stop little arguments from becoming big problems. I'm Dr. Gregory Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
You've been listening to Family Man with Catholic therapist Dr. Gregory Popchak. To discover more resources for living an abundant life, including books, CDs, and Catholic counseling services, visit us online at exceptionalmarriages.com.
Welcome back to The Doctor Is In, where you can get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling 877-573-7825. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, here to help you today with your personal problems. So, let's talk. Marie from Canada, how can I help you today? You're on the air now, Marie. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Colleen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 21-year-old daughter who's moved out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And she moved out of the house about 6 months ago. And in the last 6 months, she's become very angry at my husband and I, but especially me, criticizing me, just angry at me, and for like treating her younger sister with more leniency, for the way we raised her. We raised her in a very strict Catholic home, and she's sort of done like a flip-flop.
Mm-hmm.
She's still going to church, but the way she's acting, you'd never know that she was, a Catholic. And now she's so mad at us that she's decided she's not talking to us until she has time to heal. And it's just completely thrown my husband and I into a tizzy. And we're in a lot of anguish because we feel like we never physically, hurt her or emotionally, was abusive to her. And she's just acting like we're just villains.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just playing this victim role. And we're just completely baffled and don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, you're figuring out, where did this come from?
Yeah.
Sure, you try to be good parents, and she's trying to find her way in life, and all of a sudden, who told her that?
Yeah.
Were you watching some funny movie or something that said, get mad at your parents? Didn't we do that in the 90s? Aren't we over that yet? I thought that was a last decade thing.
Yeah.
She's a little late. Okay, well, she's not laughing about this, so I guess we can't do that either, Marie. The way I probably would want to treat it is approach her very delicately and apologize for anything that she thinks you may have done wrong, even if it's only in her mind.
Okay.
Tell her that you're really sorry, first, that she feels that way, and second, even of things you maybe never had intended to do, give her an apology for that. Because she's 21 now, and she probably knows everything at about this point in time. and let you accept her as the adult that she is, and say that you're sorry for anything that you've done, and just say, is there anything else that you're mad at us about? And then just take it. I mean, but let it bounce off. I mean, you got to go in there with the armor of Christ on so this doesn't penetrate your heart. You know,
okay.
And just say, okay, what kind of things are you, maybe she just needs to let you know this and let you hear it and say, wow, I had no idea. And we certainly would not have intended to harm you in any way. We did the best that we could do, and we believe that we gave you the best training that we knew how to do. So if there's any problem that you have with that, please forgive us.
Okay.
And then accept the fact. Just say, you know, this is not unusual that somebody at about your age, you know, sometime between like 18 and 22, goes through this set of feelings. So first you want to accept her feelings and apologize that if there's anything you did to cause them. But then let her know that this might be a phase.
Okay.
And when my kids were in this age, it would drive them crazy. But I'd say just very sincerely and kindly, like, you're going to outgrow this. I know it seems traumatic right now, but you will get through this. And so you understand, they understand, they're not shaking your identity as a mother. They're not changing your love for them. You love her as solidly as you did before. You're not going to react to her emotional trauma right now. She probably will get through this. But let her know that. Not in a trivial way, not like, you know, you would if it's a puppy love. Just say, you know, these are real feelings. And some people experience this as they're trying to break away and become their own person. And we're glad that we gave you all the upbringing that we did to help you become your own person. But I'm so glad that you're staying close to God and going to church through this.
Okay.
And you should be, Marie. And so just say, you know, I'm so glad you're going to Mass because God will help you through this. It's a process of maturation. You'll come through, and one day later, you'll look differently at this. But for now, I know you'll be working through these feelings. If there's anything we can do to help you as you work through this, let us know.
So is this like a normal rite of passage?
I don't know if it's normal, but it's not uncommon. The kids rebel in different ways at different times. Some kids are rebelling at 15 or 16, some at 17 or 18. When they're in your house, they rebel, you know, by sneaking around and doing things. And the good thing is everybody doesn't have to rebel, but in this culture, quite often it happens. And I could go hours on how we've fabricated adolescence and prolonged it. But it is not uncommon, Marie, that at this age, somebody that had a great upbringing, that was a good girl, homeschooled, and all of a sudden, bong. But just pray for her very hard that she doesn't make any really horrible life-changing, the life-devastating decisions during this time. That if she's working through it just by being mad at you, accept that, and then just ask her to please, while she's going through this, to please be kind and courteous to you, because you're going to be trying to do the same to her. So respond calmly, don't take it personally, and tell her, you know, that you believe she'll work through this as she matures over the next year or two. So don't trivialize it, you know, accept it, but let her know it's something that moves. It's a phase that she'll probably go through, and either the feelings will be healed, or she will adjust to them at a level of maturity, or she'll move on with her life and at least treat you with courtesy. So work through it with a lot of prayer together with your husband. Okay, Marie? All right. Thanks
Bye.
For calling. Bye-bye. This is the Doctor's Inn, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number. Our next caller is Rose from Michigan. Welcome to the show, Rose. How can I help you today?
Hello?
Hi, Rose. You're on the air now. Go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Colleen.
Hi.
Yeah, I don't have a very romantic topic for you today, but it's
okay.
About my 9-year-old son. He's having trouble with reading, and they brought it to my attention in the second grade. We've been reading with him and everything, and he just gets frustrated, mm-hmm. and they read with him at school. But I was looking for, and he has trouble in math also. But they told me in preschool and in kindergarten that he's very bright.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they were just saying that, but.
Okay.
Physio-neurotherapy. Are you familiar with that?
Neurophysiotherapy or physio-neurotherapy?
Yeah, I don't know which one.
Yeah, I've heard of neurophysiotherapy. Not a lot about it. But I know that it's used to help people, you know, with strokes or cerebral palsy or things like that, that they're specialists in a kind of physical therapy that affects the nerve energy that flows to your brain. So it, what I've read is that it helps people like cerebral palsy, you know, spinal cord injuries, the kind of things that are affected by your brain, because you can't stick a hammer in somebody's brain and manipulate that like you could with physical therapy, so that it is related to that, according to my understanding. What do you understand about it?
Well, they claim a couple of websites that I went on for kids with learning disabilities. They claim that they can exercise certain parts of the brain or whatever it is that they're weak at, at doing with reading, to exercise that part, strengthen that part, and that they have less and less trouble, and they can it can be permanently fixed.
Well, I have not known anyone who has experienced that, but I know that there are many forms of a physical therapy that have to do with neurological conditions like that that are effective. So it sounds like physical therapy through your brain.
Yeah.
And if it's helped people with strokes and dementia and Parkinson's disease and developmental delays, it sounds like it's worth a try.
Really? Well, this is very expensive.
Oh.
And that's why I'm calling on.
You know what? Ask them for referrals of someone who has been helped with the problem, the same problem that your son has had. Okay?
Well, that's a good idea.
Okay. And then you'll hear a story and get the truth from somebody that isn't from their office, or you're not just reading about it on a website. Just say, who do you know that's already done this?
Okay. Do you have any other suggestions from, that I can do with him? Or I was told not to do anything through the school because I'll get in the shuffle or something like that.
Because a lot of times school districts have resources, even if you're – your school itself, your school building doesn't have the resources that right there. Quite often the district itself, the whole school district, will have resource people available that can help you, whether it's occupational therapies or social workers or someone who can refer you to help like that. That's that is something worth looking into as well, to see if there's a local resource or possibly a community service agency. A lot of places have a lot of cities, actually bigger cities and suburbs, have a resource place, and I know a lady that works for one, actually, where she receives patients or receives families who don't even know where to go for the resources for special needs in particular areas like that, whether it's physical or emotional or psychological, and she finds the proper resource agency for them. So check with your school district, with your county, any local social service agencies, even Catholic Charities. They might know where you can get that help and consider and get the referrals for that neurophysiotherapy and see if it might be, if it does heal it rather than just treat it, it might be worth the investment. Check it out. Got a lot of options. Thanks for calling. God bless you, Rose. Okay, let's see. We have a minute till our music. How about Bob from Jersey? You have a quick question about the movie Fireproof. Actually, somebody just, from promoting it on the show, the promoters of the film sent me a free copy. Oh, but it's time for our break already. I read that too late. Bob from New Jersey, hang on. We'll be right back with more of The Doctor Is In after this message.
During this recession, many investors are afraid to invest in stocks or bonds. It may actually be a good time to invest, since prices are now low. At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we believe our professional investment experts have positioned the portfolios to take advantage of the economic and market recovery we expect over the next few years. Now may be an opportune time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more about the pro-life and pro-family Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA to receive a free investor kit, or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at avemariafunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Good schools are places where the climate of ideas is so interesting and exciting that the students just can't help but want to be involved.
I remember sitting in on my first class at Ave Maria and thinking this is a jubilee grace.
The goal at Ave Maria is not just to graduate students with great big heads. We're trying to educate the whole person, mind, body, spirit.
Student life is very much aware of wanting to give opportunities to students, encouraging certain kinds of clubs, the lecture series that invite very interesting speakers.
The community at Ave Maria is so strong and so tight because everyone just works together.
So I think what happens to them is they come unformed and they leave formed. They think better. They write better.
At Ave Maria University, we call it soul support. Call toll-free 877-AVE-UNIV. That's 877-AVE-UNIV. Or on the web at avemaria.edu.
To come to Ave Maria, they have to have that pioneering spirit where they want to be a part of something that's new and exciting.
Different mood every break. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free friendly advice and some musical entertainment. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today. And I invite you to call. Actually, some people have hung up. There are actually two lines open. We haven't had that in a while. So call now with that problem that you thought, oh, it's just too little. But you don't know what to do about it. So give me a call. Let's chat. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK for some positive, hopefully uplifting, practical steps that begin the solution to your problem of the day. Bob from Jersey. Almost talked to you a few minutes ago. Question about the movie Fireproof. You're on the air now, Bob. How can I help you?
Hi, Doctor. Thanks for taking my call. Have you seen the movie Fireproof?
I saw it at the preview like way last spring, so I did see it a long time ago, right?
All right. We had heard it promoted actually here on our station here in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And, my wife and I rented it the other night. And first, I just want to say, you know, obviously, we need to be supporting endeavors like that that promote the positive aspects of life and people. And,
yeah, no kidding. So, how often does that happen in a movie?
Right, exactly. So I do have a question about mm-hmm. it, because at the end of the movie, my wife and I kind of looked at each other, and I think we had two different takes on it.
Oh.
And the reason being, now, you know, throughout the movie, you know, there was obviously a difficulty there in the marriage, and the husband was aloof and distant, and he was even, you know, involved in a very inappropriate behavior with the pornography. But during that time, the wife was developing feelings for the doctor in their hospital there.
Yeah.
Even, you know, contemplating perhaps adultery, I guess, if she held hands with him, if she accepted roses
yeah,
from him.
Yeah, she flirted with him. She thought he
right.
peed for the mom yeah. thing, yeah.
Yeah, and we understand that was the point of the movie, to bring them together in the end, which they did. Our mouths kind of dropped a little bit at the end, where she finally came back to him, and she even thought that she had accepted, I guess, $23,000 in a gift for her parents from this guy.
Yeah, I know.
But at the end, she came to the firehouse and looked at him and her husband had obviously a change of heart and said, grow old with me and I forgive you. But she never showed any remorse or repentance for what she had been doing. And she never said, I'm sorry. She was very, quite nasty to him when he was trying to make, and just in a relationship. And the point my wife said was, well, she never really knew that the husband knew about this relationship she was developing with the doctor. But in my mind, that's not really, she still was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Am I just being a stubborn Italian from Jersey saying, hey, what about the guy? He was, you know.
No, I'm glad you're looking into that, Bob. And I just kind of, right, there were a few things. Actually, I read a review that says, these things weren't as Catholic as you would have hoped, you know, one that how many years, 8 years of marriage and no kids yet, you know, and no remorse for, or no shown remorse. And I just, here's how my take, I'm glad you said that, Bob, because it is important, especially when we look at it from a Catholic perspective. But I just looked at it as that probably happened when either the next day or at a time when we weren't on film, that they just had only so many minutes to put in the movie. And maybe she wasn't even ready for those feelings yet. But I just thought they left that out, not because she wasn't remorseful, because it wasn't, it didn't have enough time to address it right then. And
all
so
right,
you're
well.
Right, she did sin. I'm not going to, you know, deny that. It's just the resolution of that there wasn't enough time to resolve that when they just wanted us to see, hey, they worked through all this and worked it out. So it's probably one of those off-screen things that happened. But I'm glad you brought it up. It is worth noticing. That's because of your sensitive conscience, Bob.
Well, you know, in a real-life relationship, I would think that people would both show remorse and repentance and
yeah.
forgiveness and ask for forgiveness. They were both wrong. I just didn't show that. So
you're right.
All right. Well, let's just hope that's the way they intended it to be.
And now, Bob, all those people that are making up after a rough marriage, when they see the movie, they'll have just learned from what you called about, Bob, and they'll say, hey, I got to apologize, too. So you did some good just by calling.
All right, great. Thanks for taking my call, Doctor.
Thanks, Bob. Bye-bye. Yeah, if you haven't seen that movie yet, it really is uplifting, about marriage, a positive movie about marriage. It's an adventure flick. It's not a girl film. It's not necessarily a romance film, actually kind of an anti-romance film. It's a guy flick, fireman, adventure, some male funny behavior in the firehouse. Not funny as in inappropriate, but funny as in uncouth, maybe. But just that it's a guy kind of film. And then this guy turns his heart around and says, whoa, what's going on here? And Bob gave away some of the plot. But if you haven't seen it yet, see it. Rent it this weekend with your loved one. If you're engaged, it could help you prevent some problems in your marriage. If you're married, you'll see yourself in some of those arguments, highly possibly. And see it, Fireproof, good movie, pro-marriage adventure film. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. I think Jamie's next from KVSS in Omaha, Nebraska. That's now recently expanded to Lincoln, Nebraska. In Omaha, we always welcome you to the show. Jamie, how can I help you today?
Hi. I've been dating my boyfriend for 2.5 years, and we plan to get married one day. And he's very close with his family, and they tell me I'm considered part of the family, too, even though we're not married yet. Well,
how old are you, Jamie?
I'm 26.
Okay.
This week his mom called him to ask if we could babysit his nephew, who's in fourth grade, and his mom is 31. And because on Valentine's Day tomorrow is also her birthday, she is supposed to go on a date with her boyfriend, and her son is going to his first dance. And they wanted to know if we could take him.
Wait, her 10-year-old son?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know.
I was listening.
Yeah.
But go on with your problem.
Yeah. And so my boyfriend said no, because we had plans since it was Valentine's Day.
Okay.
And his mom got mad at us. Mm. And then she called me about 20 minutes later and asked me if we could.
Mm.
And it kind of upset me, because he said no. So, like, I just know that, well, I think that they know that I'm a yes person.
Oh, so they're manipulating the couple.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't even think that. I mean, I know he's too young for the dance in the first place, but...
Okay.
I think that his mom should have called us, not his mom, like, not the grandma. She should have. And then second of all, she's 31, and if this dance is so important, why wouldn't she as a mother make it important for him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The manipulation thing, it just is, I don't know what to do. I want to, like, say something, but I'm not. I don't want to cross boundaries.
Okay. What you can do with this is when it happens, or you can have a post comment to say, could you please try not to put me in the middle of this? And just leave it at that. Just say, wow, you know, I found out, you know, you had called him before me. Could you try to respect our coupleness? We're trying to grow as a couple right now. And so I appreciate if you don't try to play us against each other. And just leave it at that. Yeah. And even if they say, I'm not trying to do that, and say, oh, good. I mean, you know, don't get into any longer argument than that. Oh, good. I'm glad. I misinterpreted it. Sorry. but let it be known that you don't want that to happen. And if they slip again and they try to bring that into you, then your answer is simpler. And if they try to ask you something that you suspect they've asked him already, just say, oh, I don't know, I'll have to ask, you know, George or whatever his name is. And so let him know you're trying to stay unified as a couple and that you aren't going to accept that kind of manipulation. So it's a new assertiveness training technique you can learn on your own in order not to get divided like that. And that's not fair of them to do it, but since they don't see it yet, it's your response that's going to help them see that, because you're not going to be taken in by it. Okay, Jamie?
Okay.
All right. Does that help?
Yeah, that helps a lot.
Okay. Call Thank back you. If you need some more help. Okay, just be clear. You know, let him know what you're thinking. And even just to say, no, we can't babysit Saturday night is enough. You don't have to explain why. You don't have to debate what you're going to do is important, that what they're going to do, or what you think about the 10-year-old going on a date, or the mom not caring. That's not even the issue. The issue is your boyfriend said you weren't babysit. You couldn't babysit. You're sorry that you can't. You hope they can work it out. And then detach yourself from the manipulation or the fight or the mad, whatever's going to go on. Just offer yourself as generously as you can when you can, and when you can't, you can't. So you'll learn that, how to say no, especially if boyfriend has already assessed the situation and said no. You'll learn that as you grow and get some experience too. So try not to take it personally. It's not like they don't like you. You just have to consider, you know, your needs as a couple. Okay, this is the doctor is in. Let's see, Bernie's next from Virginia. Welcome to the show, Bernie. How can I help you today?
Hi. How are you today? Thank you, and God bless you for what you do. Looking for some advice on what do you do from a Catholic perspective for someone who is prone to claustrophobia? Would you recommend hypnosis? Any ideas?
Well, claustrophobia is equal religion opportunity. So it's, you know, and it's a small percentage, like 2 to 5% of the, you know, world population has, you know, serious claustrophobia. But I don't know if there's necessarily a, you know, a Catholic response to that, because it's a, you know, a psychological dash emotional dash physical problem. So you treat it as you would any other medical problem. Quite often, there are even some self-help techniques for it, and there's some you could probably find them on the internet or from different counselors that can help you, you know, overcome, you know, that inside panic, you know. One, from a Catholic perspective, prayer and healing. I mean, I'd even go to the charismatic healing service and, you know, and ask God for healing of that, as well as continued prayer when that comes up. You could consider it as a temptation and see if God can heal that at that time. But the thing about hypnosis, some people use that. I even know some priests that use it, but I'm just kind of leery of using hypnosis for something like that, unless you have, you know, you're assured that it's not harmful, you know, to you in any way or to your mind. You're not going to take you out of, you know, harm the way that you think. So I'd say there's not necessarily a Catholic response to that, but try, you know, the most professional person that you can and find what treatment that they recommend. And then just pray that God shows you and points you to that person you might run across in your research, just who he wants you to know and who can help you. Okay, Bernie?
Appreciate it. You figure that it is in the head. You're at 35,000 feet in an airplane, and you say, wait a minute, I got to get out. Where are you going? You're not going anywhere.
Exactly.
So logically, you can think through it, but sometimes that doesn't work, you know?
Right, yeah. In that situation, I would close my eyes and go to heaven. Like I have to do a lot of times when I face difficult things in life, even if it's an argument with a person, I close my eyes and I just go to heaven. So
right,
if you're up
right
in the sky, you're halfway there, I think you're ready.
Well, thank you so much, and God bless you.
Okay, thanks for calling, Bernie. This is the doctor is in. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, here to help you today with your personal problems. Our next caller is Lynn from Missouri. Has some help for Rose, one of the earlier callers. I appreciate your call, Lynn. What's your idea?
Well, can you hear me?
Yes. Speak up a little bit louder if you can.
Okay. I have my oldest son now is a junior in high school, but when he was around 9 years old, I was going through the same thing. He had a very hard time reading, very hard comprehending what was read. And I understand from the caller when she said that they said not to go to the schools. I think that's more of a fear of him being labeled.
Oh, okay.
And then he would go through the schools being labeled. Now, we weren't in a situation where the schools had very much help. His teachers, though, were wonderful. They would actually help him take tests because he had such a hard time reading. Mm. Like I said, now he is a junior in high school. We worked with him at home for hours and hours and hours, prayed and prayed and prayed. And I am so proud of him now.
Mm.
He can read. He does fine. You know, he's not a straight A student, but he does very well. And it's just give him a lot of encouragement, a lot of encouragement, a lot of love. And that's the most important thing, no matter what you decide to do, like helping him wise, any educational things to go through. The most important thing is do not let him feel like he's dumb or different from someone else. Let him know that you love him and that he's smart and that doesn't affect him, you know, who he is. And that's all I want to say because it is frustrating. It is frustrating and to watch your child struggle like that. But, you know, you just keep going.
Right.
Just keep going and be there for him. And, you know, I read with him for hours. I studied with him for hours for his test so that he could, you know, get past that grade. And he's doing fine. He's going to graduate next year. And I'm so blessed. We are blessed with four wonderfully different children. And they all have their special thing, and that's what you should be focusing on, is what it is that is special about him.
Is there a particular
instead of, you know, oh, he can't read as good as the other kids. Well, it will come. In time, it will come.
Right, and they'll all balance out in the end. So good mothering, Lynn. I admire you for that. And you're right that all the things that mothers do to help their kids, they knock themselves out for their kids, and they affirm them in what good that they do, and that makes a huge, huge difference in their lives. And they can succeed at whatever their talents are, even if it isn't the same one. My daughter and I laugh about, you know, the different strengths and weaknesses sometimes of the different kids in the family growing up, and how what you thought was the huge strength of this person, they were going to be, you know, the winner of the world, and yet another quality, and somebody that maybe wasn't the valedictorian of their class has a greater strength that is taking them further, and you never know what you can do to help. Just another little example when you're talking about the doing your own personal help for him. Sometimes that is as helpful as the outside help. I know my youngest was born prematurely and had was intubated a long time, and his top of his mouth grew around the air tube, and so he had a huge speech defect before he went to school. And so I thought, well, you know, I could take him to speech therapist, or I can try to work with him. And I would spend at least an hour a day just sitting on our lap. You know, he'd be sitting on my lap, we'd be looking at each other, we'd be laughing, and we'd practice all these different sounds and ways to move our mouth and ways to move our tongue. And if we're in the car, you know, we had time to kill, we would do it there too. And he never actually had to go to a speech therapist. And in kindergarten, even the teacher said he talked too much, so tears started rolling down my face, and I said, I'm so glad he has a voice. I'm so glad he can talk. And we corrected that, too. But anyway, a lot that moms can do to help their kids. All right, it is time for break. We'll be right back with more of your calls on The Doctor Is In after this message.
Relax. The Doctor Is In.
Well,
cards and translation dictionary in hand, you're ready to start speaking a foreign language. But how do you find someone to talk to? HSLDA President Mike Smith provides suggestions on today's Homeschool Heartbeat.
This week, we've been talking about how to teach a foreign language in your homeschool. With all these resources, you're ready to start working toward the end goal of learning a language, the ability to speak it. Meeting international students is a great way to practice a second language. Many universities have programs that will connect you with a foreign student who is eager to practice conversational skills with an American family. In exchange, your children can learn about the language and culture of your foreign student. If you don't live near a university, find out whether there are classes for teaching English to speakers of other languages in your area. You may also be able to find speakers of other languages by visiting an international church in your area. You could get language immersion experience while you worship with believers from around the world. Your student could correspond with a missionary or sponsor a child overseas, getting practice in writing and reading a foreign language. Learning other languages can also prepare your student to travel on short or long-term mission trips. Be creative. In this day and age, you can find ways to interact with people from all over the globe. Make a foreign language come alive for your children by giving them opportunities to engage with native speakers. Involve your whole family, from the little ones to mom and dad, and start talking. Until next time, I'm Mike Smith.
If you'd like more resource suggestions for learning a foreign language, visit our website to request a free resource sheet. It's www.homeschoolheartbeat.com. Or call us at 1-866-338-8614.
Welcome back. The Doctor is In, where you can get free friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Got a short call here from Mary responding to Rose. Mary from Dallas, Texas. You're on the air now. Thanks for your comment. Go ahead.
Yes, I had another comment for the mom that had the 9-year-old that was having reading difficulties.
Yeah, Rose.
I sort of had the same problem many, many years ago.
Okay.
And I'm one of the dinosaurs that I looked into one of the learning centers at the time that were just coming out. I think there was just one or two of them. At that time.
Okay. Oh, the ones in the neighborhoods now.
Right. And now neighborhoods have a lot more of them.
Mm.
But they would focus on, first they would give your child a test, and it'd be some upfront money. It wasn't too bad at the time, but a lot less probably than what these physiotherapy people would charge, you know, to get involved in their program. It was a lot less. It was only a couple $100 or so. And then they would tell you where the skills were that they were missing out of reading, writing, math, or even study skills. They have classes in reading, writing, math, and study skills nowadays. So they do guarantee for however long your child goes to their classes that they would improve so much of a grade level on further testing in the school and in their programs, and I found it to be very beneficial. They did what they said they were going to do.
Oh, good.
And we had good people helping us there.
Okay.
But I just was going to say, check out the learning centers if you can't do it at home, you know, for
very
whatever
good.
Reason.
Thanks for the tip, Mary. I appreciate the call. Bye-bye. This is The Doctor Is In. Our next caller is from Seattle, Washington. That's quick to go from Dallas to Seattle in 1 minute. Tony, you're next. How can we help you today, Tony?
I'm great, thanks. My question is about my adult children.
Okay.
My daughter married a very nice man, a non-Catholic, and they went to Mexico to get married, so it was a civil service, and she promised me she'd get her marriage blessed, blah, blah, blah.
Is she going to?
No.
Oh, not yet. Okay, she just said that to pacify you.
Well, I think
it did make you feel better for a few minutes, didn't it, Tony?
I trusted her.
Yeah.
Her husband is a Christian, and he has gone a couple of times to Mass, but is not really interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's more interested in some wacky guy down the street. At any rate, my daughter went to our church to have her child, or to find out about if she could have the child baptized. And, of course, they said no, because
she's not
married. Catholic.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, we never mind the not married stuff. She isn't.
Not a practicing Catholic, right?
Yeah. So
they say, why would you want to baptize a child if you're not going to raise it Catholic?
Right. But she cannot accept this. She just says, she came to Mass with me one time, and she said, everybody in here is judging me. And I'm thinking, yeah, I've been to Mass in so long. They don't know who you are, and they are not judging you, but you sure are judging them.
She's doing it herself, too. That's what's the problem. It's her conscience bothering her.
Yes, that's what it is. And, you know, she accuses me of judging her, and I don't know quite what to say because I don't think if you believe what you believe in our faith, then it's the truth. And you can't say it's not the truth. Mm-hmm. So it's just an observation.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
It's not a judgment. You are doing something that is not correct.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, you sound like you have a logical approach to it, Tony. that you're saying, like, you can't pretend.
Yeah.
That's not.
And right. I'm in a position now where she's going to have her next child in March.
Mm-hmm.
And they have decided with their little boy that they are going to send him to a Christian preschool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not excited about this at all, but I don't dare open my mouth because mm-hmm. if I mention anything about religion, it's like, oh, mother, you know. But I'm not finding peace with myself because I don't say anything to her because I don't feel like I can say anything to her. We have enough differences that I don't. She knows what I think,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't bear repetition. I mean, you've done something wrong, you're doing something wrong, and I can't change that. And I can't change that I believe that it's wrong.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, I don't know how to handle her, and I bet you there are lots of parents out there who have this same problem. Because in my conscience, I feel like, well, the church would like me to say something,
mm-hmm.
but on the other hand, the church does not want me to ruin this relationship.
Right.
And I figure that I'm setting a very good example to her because I go to Mass. I'm divorced, and I've had an annulment, and I'm celibate, and I do everything that I possibly can
mm-hmm.
to set good examples. I mean, I'm a sinner. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So what you're looking at is that the balance between prudence when you know you need to be quiet so you don't drive her away, and that prompting that you're getting to say, is this the Holy Spirit asking me to bring something up again? And so you're going to have to find a delicate balance between that because you want to obey God if this is the Holy Spirit prompting you to say that. If it's just yourself wanting to express yourself, that's different than the Holy Spirit. So first, stay close to God in prayer. Spend some time before the Blessed Sacrament. If you do a holy hour each week before the Blessed Sacrament, maybe it's an adoration chapel, ask God what to do about this. Let him guide your heart and your head to know what to do. But initially, you want to maintain that relationship of love with her so she sees and feels and experiences Christ's love through you. And that is going to convict her in her own way. God can touch her heart. She's like, how can my mom love me so much? How can she be so nice to me and kind to me when she knows I'm offending her and everything that she believes in? You have to trust that your daughter at least will have those thoughts at some times because she knows that you love, she knows that you love God, and she knows that you're not going to compromise your beliefs, but you're going to give her all the love that she needs. And then as you develop that relationship and you've gone for a while without her thinking that that's the only thing on your mind every time you're with her, that you've accepted in your heart, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to give the timing to you. Then you listen to the Holy Spirit and say, is it time to say something? Not in an argument time, not at a time when the baby's just born, not at any crucial time, but sometime that's a downtime in between things. You're sitting on the couch talking to each other in one of your houses one day, and you say, you know, I'm wondering if you've rethought. And then just some simple specific thing, you know, whether or not you want to get this baby baptized in the church. And just approach her as if it's not going to make a difference whether or not you love her, but you're just wondering if she has rethought that for the sake of the child's soul, and so they'd be filled with God's grace. So bring it up in a calm way, but the main thing you want to do is to develop that relationship with her so she'll even be open and listen to you so she can feel Christ's love. Okay, Tony?
Yeah.
All
well,
right.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for calling. God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, Ron, for some comments for Jamie earlier, whose boyfriend's family was pulling her in. Thanks for calling, Ron.
You're welcome. Thank you. Calling for Jamie. She, She said she's a yes person, so I'll make it quick. She's highly sensitive, mm-hmm. so she has to educate people on how to treat her. Mm-hmm. The way she gains strength is to operate from the feeling that she's experiencing. I feel uncomfortable when I'm asked to do something against my boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
against my boyfriend's issues or decision.
Mm-hmm.
So she lets the other person know that she's operating by a certain moral standard, and the other person will get the message. And real quick for claustrophobia,
mm-hmm.
going to the doctor and asking for a low dose of beta blocker to take care of the adrenaline response with claustrophobia.
Okay. All right.
And that's it.
All right. Good idea. Thanks for calling, Ron.
Uh-huh.
We appreciate your help. Okay, well, we just lost Lois, her last caller. But we had somebody call in about acupuncture. And is there a Catholic response to acupuncture? And those questions come up a lot, you know, and all the holistic medicine issues come up. And certainly that as Catholics, we want to only do things that are with not against our faith. And acupuncture, as long as it's just used for physical therapy and it isn't any, you know, strange, dubious spirituality or a strange New Age experience that goes with it, or some other kind of mystical spirituality. If it's just as physical therapy, there isn't anything wrong with it because it is essentially a science. It's a scientific response. You know, this is punctured. These nerves respond in this particular way. So there's nothing immoral about it if it's just used as a treatment for a problem that you might be having. So hopefully that answers your question. And we're on the line. And now we are at the end of our show, so I can't ask you to call. I can ask you to call back on, see what day it is. This is Friday, on Monday. And I wish all of you such a wonderful Valentine's Day. Kindle that romance in your marriage if it's been dying off. This is the occasion to do that. Use this as a holy day and a holiday, not just a cultural holiday where you're going to give people candy. Actually, think about that candy thing. Guys, if you're thinking bringing your wife candy, rethink it if she's on a diet, for example. But if you know it's really what she wants, that's okay. Then think of what would really make this person happy. Not the easiest answer, candy or flowers, but what would really make your husband or wife happy? Is it spending time with you? Is it that present, something they've been wanting but sacrificing? Is it that special dinner or that meal? Think of something special to do with that person that you love this weekend. Enjoy that Valentine's Day so that you can be Christ to others too.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Pro-life groups are up in arms about yet another pro-abortion nominee Barack Obama has put forward for a leadership position in the Justice Department. President Obama wants abortion advocate Elena Kagan to serve as Solicitor General, the attorney who represents the government before the Supreme Court. Because the Solicitor General defends the laws of the United States, Kagan would be in a position to defend laws that either support or oppose abortion. Another study has confirmed the link between abortion and subsequent premature births when a woman is pregnant again. Previous studies have substantiated the link, and now new research involving more than 1 million births show abortion is responsible for elevating preterm birth risk. According to the research, women who have had one prior abortion boost their risk for a very premature birth in a future pregnancy by 30%. This is Life News Radio. The oldest organization offering help for women with emergency pregnancies was started in Toronto in 1968 and has hundreds of offices now in the U.S. and around the world. Birthright always welcomes volunteers. If you think you have what it takes to help women and their babies, call and talk about it 24/7 by calling the Birthright Hotline, 800-550-4900. Senator Judd Gregg of New Hampshire has withdrawn his